be held throughout the week, and more info can be found at www.bliff.org.
Y en español, el BLIF, como se le conoce, el Festival de Cine del Cine Latinoamericano en Boston, comienza este fin de semana y va desde el 3 hoy hasta el 10 de octubre. Darán la primera película, El Mal de Amores, hoy a las 7 de la noche. Si se puede encontrar más información, si ustedes quieren, en el www.bliff.org. Así que esos son solo los que tenemos por ahora.
So that's the announcement and news for today. And thanks so much for joining here at WMBR at Spirio. You guys can catch this and all of our previous shows on the web as well on the archive section at www.wmbr.org or at our own website, web.mit.edu/hemisphere. So we're going to end our time today with a song called Abre la Ventana.
Abre la Ventana. Open the window.
Open the window. So I hope that this is, like, our show was providing you a new perspective. And
For sure.
And thanks so much.
Fresh air.
Okay. Fresh air, for sure.
That's right.
Okay. So we'll catch up, you guys, later next week. And thanks so much.
Adios.
Bye.
Puerta. فمرحبا إلى Music for Human. I am الدكتور جالس السكران here at WMBR 88.1 FM in Cambridge. I have with me Lester Woods, ordained light minister.
Good evening, everyone.
Welcome, Lester.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be here tonight.
And I have two returning guests. I have Paul.
Hello.
Paul is with us.
I'm glad to be here.
Paul is an expert of
Kung Fu history, I think.
Kung Fu history.
That's right. I'm not a practitioner of Kung Fu.
Or of history, presumably.
But when you combine the two, I do know something about Kung Fu history.
Together.
Yes.
And we also have with us the General.
Hello.
Welcome, General.
Thanks, it's good to be back.
And astonishingly, before we announce the phone number, we have our first caller. And our second caller. We'll have our operator patch those through. Hello, caller one, you're on the air.
Hello, I'll choose to be a point in the circle.
Oh, welcome, welcome, Robert. And let's add also the nth point. Caller 2, you're on the air. Maybe just hanging out with no speech. And the third caller, let's try that one. Caller 2. Caller 2? Caller 2?
I think it's the back EMF again. It's one way fighting with the waves going against the other.
I thought we put up a shield for that.
Yeah, that's a really good question.
Let's try again.
Hello, caller 2?
Maybe someone moved the shield.
Yeah, I checked the dumpster before I came in, but I don't know what they could have done with it.
Does the shield need an upgrade, perhaps?
It maybe just got disconnected.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh.
Hey, is Music for Human Beings on tonight?
This is Music for Human Beings. You're on the air.
Oh, my goodness, because I am on the road and I can't hear the show, but I wonder if I could just tune in psychedelically.
Oh, because Of course. We are also broadcasting psychedelically.
Oh, nice. Well, I'm looking at a beautiful tree. And the birds are singing, and I feel so relaxed, and I just have had such a deep attunement with Music for Human Beings every week that I just wanted to call in and say how much I appreciate the show, even though I'm receiving it telepathically right now.
Well, thank you for your contribution. Yeah, for our other listeners, the show can be reached in three ways. There is the usual radio way. There is also the internet way, which is by a series of interconnected pipes. And then finally, there is the telepathic way, which our caller is enjoying, which can be reached if you have had a sufficient quantity of magnesium during the day. Your brain will be able to absorb the subconscious frequencies we emit.
I think it's because my friend's wife is from Thailand, and she's been feeding us a lot of Thai food, and I think that food has is mineral-rich, including magnesium.
Yeah, lot of pumpkin in Thai food, which contains very magnesium-rich.
Yes, yes. Well, you're coming through loud and clear on the psychic dimensions, and I just wanted to tell you how relaxed and comfortable I feel.
Well, stay with us, caller. You know,
sure.
I was actually thinking earlier about the effects of magnesium on the brain. I eat a great deal of magnesium.
Well, it has magnesium in it.
Magnesium does have magnesium in it. As the old German saying goes, in Käse ist Käse darin.
Jawohl.
Which, of course, means that cheese is made of cheese.
Is that cheese? I mean, magnesium in cheese?
Not a great deal of magnesium in cheese.
But calcium, there's calcium in cheese, and calcium and magnesium is supposed to be a very good brain food.
Calcium manganate?
Calcium and magnesium. I don't know about manganate. Manganate's kind of hard to say.
Maybe because it's combined with calcium.
Yeah, when calcium and magnesium combine, they form a compound known as calcium magnetate.
Mm. But you know, that's really an interesting point that you bring up, that what are we putting into our bodies? If we can't even pronounce it, really, you know, how ingestible is it?
Well, yeah, that's actually an interesting point.
I always wanted to live back in the old days.
You know, everyone can pronounce Twinkie.
Well, when I first was learning English, I couldn't pronounce pumpkin. I pronounced it bumpkin. There is no P in Arabic.
I think we should.
Did you ever drink from a well?
From a well?
I have.
The ground.
I didn't understand that.
I never thought about that.
From a walk you had?
From a walk-in end?
From a rock.
From a rock?
See, I think this is the same thing we're talking about, is being able to pronounce things and to understand them before we eat them.
Or drink them.
Drink them.
Right.
Or smell them, or smoke them, or rub them on our bodies.
Or you know, inject them.
Inject them?
You know, actually, there's a whole host of herbal solutions that are used with calcium, actually. I mean, it actually just dawned.
It has a lot of vitamins in it.
Right, there's calcium salt, calcium star. What else do we have?
Calcium pyrophosphate,
bran.
Calcium.
I don't know how to read any of this stuff on the cereal box. Those are all big words.
Calcium rich.
You know, speaking
calcium
of cereal,
rich.
I don't know if you've ever tried Colon Blow, but that's it really works.
Well, Colon Blow contains a lot of barley, and barley, of course, is also magnesium rich.
Right. Mm. And it grows really well at high altitudes.
Where does magnesium come from?
Magnesium comes from the earth.
Okay.
Like many things, really.
But what exactly is the pathway that magnesium takes?
I guess that's what I mean.
Into our bodies.
Yeah.
How does it get here?
You mean like after we eat it, where does it go?
I mean, how deep down do I have to dig to get...
Oh, to get, like, pure magnesium ore?
Yeah. I mean, you're saying it's a pathway to maybe not psychedelic.
No, I'm really only saying that it's like a diet that's rich in magnesium will provide the subject with particularly vivid dreams and meditations.
Right. So if I wanted to tune into this show, not by radio or by internet tubes, how deep down do I have to dig?
How much magnesium?
How deep?
Well, fairly deep. It of course depends on how many years you have been taking in that magnesium-rich nutrition.
Well, we don't have the radio or the internet right now, but we had potato skins for dinner. I wonder if that had magnesium in it.
I'm fairly sure that potato is not a significant provider of magnesium. I have a list of magnesium-rich foods here.
Is cereal on it?
No. No. Well, there's bran. If you eat bran, right. Bran is magnesium-rich.
Colon blow.
Colon blow has a lot of barley. Barley is magnesium-rich.
Raisin bran.
Bran, again. Bran is excellent.
So it does have cereal on it.
Well, there are...
What's colon blow?
Colon blow is a type of cereal that is produced in southwestern California.
You said that it wasn't cereal.
No, no. You know, cereal is... Not all types of cereal are significant providers of magnesium. Oh. But bran, which is an ingredient in many cereals, is. And in the case of colon blow... A colon blow contains significant quantities of barley, which is also a significant source of magnesium in the diet. Actually, 2 out of 3 Americans don't get enough magnesium. So, magnesium.
And that
you know what's weird about this
an
show?
Explanation.
The operators.
The operators?
Does magnesium affect the rhythm of the breathing? Because I feel like I've ingested quite a bit of magnesium, I'm very relaxed and breathing. My breathing is in and out, and it's like a gently swinging pendulum in and out, and just enjoying the universe in this moment. Mm-hmm. Does magnesium affect respiration?
So, not that I'm aware of, but maybe if it's inhaled.
Yeah.
Ah.
But I don't know if that's anything that we're able to comment on from experience.
I
don't think food really matters too much.
I think you're right.
As far as spirituality goes. Yeah. I thought it did, but I don't know. I don't really think it does.
Well, you know, there are cultures that really believe that the part that you play in the universe will affect you in a very direct way.
Yeah.
Ah.
And if you feel like you're not being affected enough, you can also switch to super colon blow. I understand that it even packs a punch. It's
has okra.
Yeah, 25 times more potent.
How do you want to be affected?
How would I like to be affected by the universe?
Sure.
That's a great question. It's a little personal. And I like that.
Well,
I only met half of it.
I would like to be, you know, simply at peace with the universe. No, plus minus.
Yeah. Just like pass through life real nice and easy without like upsetting anything.
Just like I want the colon blow to pass through me.
I don't like to have food in me for too long. Quick.
Yeah, that's interesting. Also, recently I was having a discussion with my meditation circle about bezoars.
That's interesting.
Bezoars?
Bezoars. I think Poe is an expert on the subject of the bezoar.
Well, I wouldn't call myself an expert, but I have had some experience with them.
You have yourself had a bezoar? Well, first, let's have a definition.
Well, a bezoar is, it affects your dietary, it's a dietary issue, and
It's related to the amount of fiber that you take into your body over the course of a long time. And fiber is one of these things that we want a certain amount of balance of, just like everything else. We want to be take in not too much and not too little fiber.
Sort of like roughage and leaves and greens and very like wicker pen sets.
Yeah, if you eat too much wicker or eat too many leaves, that might be too much fiber for your system to handle. And it is a personal issue. I think it varies from person to person. But if you take too little fiber, there would be issues as well. And so abezoar is one of the problems experienced when you don't have, a balanced amount of fiber for your system.
What can happen is that the things that you've eaten can form a solid mass in your intestine.
And you don't want this solid mass. There are certain formations in your intestines that are healthy, and other formations that are not. And some of these solid masses are not healthy. And that's abezoar is not something that you would want.
Popcorn is good.
Popcorn, lots of magnesium there, lot of fiber. Also macaroni.
And I'm sure that all of us can spell or pronounce at least popcorn, and most of us can spell it too.
But bezoar, very few people could, I think, spell bezoar.
Which goes well with our theory that perhaps we should be able to pronounce and spell the things that we take into our body.
Good point. Well said. You know, I think that's we have to go see doctors, because when they inject us or prescribe, the things that they inject or prescribe from us are virtually unpronounceable, except with years and years of Latin and study and training, and there's so many syllables to string together.
I think you're making a pretty bold claim there. I think a lot of foods that you eat, you didn't know how to pronounce until they were taught to you over and over and over, right? It's a linguistic thing, so... I think it's pretty bogus that you're saying. I mean, where's the adventure in not taking medicines?
Well, here's the thing, though. You notice when you couldn't pronounce foods and your mother had to tell you what they were, you were small. You were small, but once you learned how to pronounce them, you started to grow. You see what I'm saying?
I don't. Help me out.
Well,
I used to just eat chickpeas.
It wasn't so much the nutrition.
What the F was
in your body?
Oh, the green thing? Fucking
word broccoli.
Wait, what'd you say?
Well, I'm thinking, you know, kids are small and they don't know how to pronounce the names of the foods they're eating. And I was wondering if, you know, really the word broccoli, you know, people probably don't really say that correctly until they're in eighth grade. But then they're starting to develop. They're starting to get big.
I think in our society we have different standards, though, for children and for adults. Obviously, children are, well, they're smaller, and so naturally they might have, you know, physically have problems pronouncing certain words. But just like we don't let a child drive a semi, for instance, a large vehicle, or pilot an F-18.
Well, and
or a 737.
No, we wouldn't let them do that.
Many children cannot pronounce the names of chocolates that they like.
That's true.
Which I think...
I used to have a lisp.
You used to have a lisp, Robert?
Yeah, you said boo boo boo. So like you make your S sound. I had to go to speech class because of it. How's that? They want you to make a sound with your mouth.
Oh, that's interesting, Robert. Yeah, I just wanted to let everyone know that we've actually added on another nodal point to the circle. Maria, welcome.
Hi, everybody. Good night. My name is Maria, and I'm from Colombia. And I also have, like, a lot of problems pronouncing things in English, especially food. And a huge problem with Swiss and French chocolates that I like so much.
You like chocolate?
I love chocolate.
Well, I often find the Belgian chocolates very, very difficult to pronounce because they're very unusual. You know, the Rue de Choisement, you know, I cannot pronounce them.
Is there any Belgians out there that want to pronounce the name of the chocolate?
Well, if any Belgians would like to call in, the number is 617-253-8810. And we have our two lines, so you can contribute your pronunciations and permit us to consume your delicious chocolates.
Yeah, for example, like this, like known brand Godiva. How you pronounce that? Godiva, Godiva.
Well, and Lindt, or see, I can't even. There's a D and then there's a T. Which one
the
did we choose?
Store that they put in malls.
You can't pronounce a T
Lindt
after a D.
That you would call the mall. Why would I even need to call Lindt anything? Why do you even need words? Why do you need anything? I bought pants, just like everybody else.
You bought pants?
I bought pants. I have trouble with pants because I always spill paint on them. That's what's tough about being an artist. No one wants to give you any money, and you got to buy off a pair of pants.
That's the one of the major problems, but also paint and brushes and canvases, and you have to pay your models and, you know,
and your floors
and the floors and
you have to pay to look at the sun.
Some, depending on which sun you hire.
Well, that's one of the advantages from
you kind of have to pay taxes. You're right.
One of the advantages of one sort of art form, martial arts, which is a generalization of kung fu, one of the reasons that it has been popular through history, in my experience, is because you require so little, and it's such a fundamental thing to so many cultures, or so many parts of China in particular. It requires so little from the person in terms of money, for instance. You don't need canvases, you don't need to buy them.
What about poetry?
I kind of like buying stuff, though. I kind of like the system. It's a nice system to some extent. It has its flaws.
Well, you know, Winston Churchill said it was a terrible system and it was the best of all the worst ones or something.
It's kind of hard to have systems.
Yeah, but once you get into a pattern, I feel like that's really when it all pays off.
Yeah, getting into patterns is cool.
Yeah, when you can wake up in the morning, take out a long, nice, deep breath, and, you know, start it off with the up dog, down dog, sun salutation.
Warrior 2.
Right.
Warrior 2.
I usually like to take a shower when I wake up.
Yeah, it's all about getting the harmonics going, whichever way you choose to do that.
It's a bit shocking, but like of a practice, I would say. But it's something that I am used to. Some days I'll lay in bed for a while, wake up and stretch slowly. And
yeah.
I guess it is less of a change in the blood pressure, possibly. Just taking a shower, like I assume you take a shower, it's going to make you... It wakes you up a little bit when you're sleeping a lot. Anyways, when I sleep, I breathe slow. I remember when I was a little kid, I was watching the Muppet Baby show, and in one of the episodes, the smart baby, everybody's trying to go to sleep, and the smart baby's like, you have to slow down your breathing pattern, and like, or something of that nature.
And like he said how it was very scientific.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting.
So when you are in the shower, you have to face a lot of choices, I think. Even something as systematic or as simple as going into the shower, one of the choices is what to apply to your body while you're in the shower. Now, there are certain ingredients or chemicals in your soap or in your shampoo that you have to choose whether or not to put on your body. And some of these are very difficult to pronounce and to spell in particular. I want to ask you, do you use a particular one called lauryl sulfate? Does that ring a bell?
I usually use ivory soap.
Ivory soap, okay.
Can't make my hair feel. I only put a little on my hair.
Okay.
That can be changed, though, if it has to.
Yeah.
I don't know if it smells funny. I think I smell fine. Might smell a little bit like cigarettes and booze sometimes.
Okay, that's interesting. I haven't encountered the cigarette
soap
before. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's very good for cellulite.
I consider it more of a cologne than a soap. Perfume, even.
It's an acquired taste.
Well, I also remember reading about a caffeinated soap.
Yeah, that's the one for cellulitis also, you know. And to lose weight also. Very good.
They're all different soaps or one combined soap?
Well, they sell like different ones because some of them is for exfoliation, others is like for moisturizing, so it's a ritual.
I don't put soap under my armpits. I just let I run water. And just like rub it for like a minute under each armpit, and just kind of like, because it seems like a place where, like, I don't use deodorant either. It seems like a place where like you want. Like, I don't really smell my sweat that much.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wonder. I wish you could like take public surveys, like ask people, like, hey, do you think I smell bad? Like, just in public.
You can do that.
I don't know. I don't know something. I just don't do.
One of the issues of putting soap in your armpits, though, is that it's harder to wash the soap off that area as well, right? That seems to be at least in my experiences,
it's difficult to wash the soap.
Right.
I don't know. There's just one. There's a few smells I don't like in my armpits, and like they smell like I don't know. I think I sweat very nicely. I think I eat very nice food.
That's interesting. It really is important to consider. You know, I don't know if you're into making your own soap, but that's definitely one thing we look at when we're trying to grade the efficacy of a particular soap is how much you do need to apply underneath the armpits. That's traditionally the problem child for soap makers.
I'd wear deodorant if I were paid to.
You would if you were paid, but you don't like actually going back and buying the deodorant.
No, I don't really care about buying stuff. That's not a problem. I just like it's like bogus. I mean, if, sure, if you want to like clog up how you smell and cover up like the stench of fast food and all that stuff with like gross perfume and like weird hair products and all that bogus stuff, but
right, you're just masking one smell with another.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you, Robert.
Yeah, I actually once met a group of people, a very small group, that thought that, well, you know, we were talking about the caffeine soap and the magnesium soap and the cellulitis soap. They thought that why not actually make nutritional supplement soap? So they put in everything in the soap. I think it was made of quinoa. And they had, you know, iron, and they had, you know, proteins and all sorts of things sitting there in their soap. And they would just wash all day and try to absorb nutrients. But they all died.
How efficient, though, is the nutrient absorption?
Well, apparently not efficient enough.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they were really, you know, I mean, it couldn't have been any more, you know, I mean, they were rubbing steaks all over themselves and really, you know. Well, steaks for protein, you know, not like, not some sort of obscene.
Well, I mean, like, that just doesn't make any sense.
Well, you know, I mean, it's strange already that you can absorb some nutrients, you know, topically.
Did they look at how they were applying it at all as a factor? I mean,
I'm your not skin, sure. Yeah,
from my travels at least, your skin is a good absorber of different things. I mean, earlier we were talking about psychedelic transmissions and psychedelic transmissions through your skin of things you can't pronounce. It's pretty commonplace, so I don't know why.
Maybe it's like not healthful absorption. I mean, I could imagine that. So caffeine, we know, is readily absorbed topically, but maybe fiber is not. I could really see that being a problem. So maybe they had large bezoars.
Maybe we should increase our pore sizes.
Oh wow! You know what? One thing that I just made the connection about, and I don't know how I didn't realize this before, but we all use, say, olive oil when we're cooking, right? I mean, maybe they didn't choose to use the food-grade olive oil for making their soaps. I don't know if this might have had some sort of interplay in the situation, but...
Huh.
No, but what I can say is, like, the best thing to have a bath is to use olive oil and sea salt. And you mix it with, like, parsley or celery or lavender, depending of what kind of smell you want to have.
I'm going to get that kind of deodorant that has the, what is it, that kind, that toothpaste, Tom's a man, that kind's really good. They have deodorant.
There's a toothpaste-flavored deodorant?
I don't know. I like the way that toothpaste tastes. So I don't really care.
Well, I'm not sure that, like, toothpaste is prepared well for having there on the underarm.
I've used
Dr. Bronze.
No,
I like working in the restaurant industry, because you can't smell anything.
Yeah, that's a good point. The Castile soap really has a market niche.
You can use it for anything.
I quit my job because of bad vibes. My mom got mad at me. She was like, no one's going to hire you if you put bad vibes for your reason for leaving your last job. But it's like you're crazy.
It's strange, right? But it's very valid. Like, you go to work and you feel oppressed or unhappy.
And sometimes
and
the only way...
Maybe you're getting sexually harassed.
The only way we can verbalize it is bad vibe.
Well, those are really bad vibes, Robert.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, it's tough working in a town when people start to realize who you are. Like, I've always just been so awkward my whole life. Now I feel very manly. I feel very manly and masculine now. I feel very human. I said to a police officer, I said, all I care about is music for human beings. I did not mean this radio show, but however, I do like this radio show.
Well, thank you, Robert. Welcome to the human family.
Humans, yeah. I wonder about them. They're okay. I do like it. I am a human. I like myself. I like everything except for it's okay. I don't know. It doesn't matter what I like.
Those are very good words, Robert.
Excuse me?
No, you're very positive now. That's good.
And thank you for sharing these experiences with us.
Yeah.
It's necessary to complete our circles.
Wow, yeah. That's great, Robert.
So, right now, how do you feel, is the status of your vibe? Is it a good vibe, or is it a great vibe? Or
I feel that it is open and accepting, and I'm not trying to push out any vibes, except for when I play drums, because I think that it is possible to lose all of the vibes at once, and they're not bad vibes, they're good vibes. they're just a very, it's just a very human, it's like running.
Yeah, great. Yeah, this is some really great music we're listening to right now.
Yeah, it's didgeridoo.
It reminds me a lot of mechanical human throat singing. I don't know if we've ever played that on the show yet before.
Well, that's I'm not sure, favorites. But if we haven't, we should. Yeah, definitely. This is Samadhi by Phil Jones. His track called Didgeridoo Lyre Song. For the lying didgeridoo.
Oh, wow.
But I really feel like it's appropriate given our theme on, vibes that Robert brings up.
I saw a movie on the television,
mm-hmm.
and there was this man named Fellini, and the movie was called A Born Liar. That man was influenced by the philosophy of, I don't know if I pronounced Nietzsche's name correctly. How did fried rice Nietzsche?
Nietzsche.
I do not believe that anything that the exception of the dream world exists.
Wow.
But I don't believe anything. I just want to do what I'm told in a very gentle fashion. It feels good to be gentle while moving through the universe because my blood pressure doesn't raise.
Yeah, well, I think gentleness is good. Robert, I wonder if you're familiar with the concept of lucid dreaming.
Yeah, I've heard lots of people talk about it, and I dream lots of stuff. I don't know if it's defined as lucid.
Well, so lucid dreaming is actually being able to control yourself and the characters in your dreams.
I think that everybody does that.
Oh, well, if
it's
you can...
It's a matter of whether you like yourself or not.
It's a very actually...
Does everybody remember their dream?
No, actually, very few people do, like, and particularly men, very few men remember their dreams.
Weird.
Yeah, it's sort of strange. Is caller 2 still with us? Okay. So this means that we have a line open for a second caller.
It seems that, going back to what we discussed earlier, does magnesium have an effect on the lucidity of your dreams? How much you can control what you are doing in your dreams? Because if I understand correctly, there's a lot of variation in how people dream. And if men can't control their dreams or remember their dreams, maybe men are not taking in as enough magnesium. Could that be true?
It's a monk's dream?
It's possible. I mean, I know that women have trouble retaining calcium, but if men take as much calcium as women are supposed to take, then they become, they have these very painful stones.
There's a lot of problems that come with calcium overdose. People even go into comas.
I probably have a high tolerance to calcium, but I don't think I'm ever going to overdose on it. I used to drink a lot of milk when I was younger.
Well, general, is it really likely that someone could overdose by dietary calcium? Like a lot of milk? I know there is also calcium-fortified cheeses and calcium-fortified tortilla.
Yeah, orange I like juice. The dairy. Like
orange
dairy.
Juice.
Too much dairy is not so great, though. I've been cutting it
apple
out a
sauce.
Little bit.
Barracudas.
Orange-fortified barracudas.
Even when broccolis.
Or orange fortified or broccoli?
Calcium fortified.
Calcium fortified broccoli. So it's really, you know, you really have to be careful about what you eat.
I never broke a bone when I was little. I don't know, I think it's neat how like little kids just like have like a, like I noticed that, I don't know if it's always just little boys, But I noticed a lot of them have kind of a disregard for their body. Like, I remember watching my little cousin one time on, it was around Christmas, there was Christmas lights up, and he was just running around, like, jumping up in the air and, like, falling on his butt, and just, like, it was like, if I did that, I'd be like, oh, my tampon! And he just, like, gets up and starts, like, running around again. It's so strange. I wonder, though, if, like, it's because little boys see, like, see the television, and that's why they're more just, like, prone to, like, running around hidden stuff.
No. You think that the media encourages a reckless behavior for boys? You know, it's...
I don't know. I think it might be, like, natural. Like,
well, Robert, it's like a mystery.
Punching. Like, keep punching, Joe.
Well, the media certainly encourages consumption of some of the things that we've been talking about today, like calcium. I've seen many advertisements, both through print and through television, about... in taking large amounts of calcium through milk.
But, you know, ironically, I've never seen an ad that encourages people to eat more magnesium. But magnesium is that thing that helps you dream vividly. So it seems like there is an anti-dream conspiracy. You know, there are people out there who don't want you to dream, and you should dream.
I wonder who these people could be, though. What would be their motives?
So... protein is a competitor to magnesium in terms of dream elucidation. And
if we just picked it, and like, what's easiest to like produce and all that stuff?
Well,
like, people like McDonald's hamburgers. It really doesn't smell that bad to me.
Yeah, but like, why isn't McDonald's selling magnesium fortified hamburgers? I believe it's because. No, they should, though. Like, I think that's because they don't want you to dream of other hamburgers.
The McMag.
The McMag, exactly. Yeah. We could be having vivider dreams and better meditation.
Just eating.
A relaxation. Because
better relaxation. Now, I should warn any of our listeners that if you have kidney failure, excessive dreaming can be dangerous.
That's a good point, and thank you for pointing that out.
Well, you know, I wouldn't want any of our listeners to engage in dangerous behavior.
So, what we were talking about, how McDonald's could have a motive, an incentive for people to not take magnesium, can we think of other examples where dreaming could hurt the bottom line, could hurt their business or their organization? The media.
They want you to watch TV programs the whole day and the advertisements, even the radio.
I think most corporations might be anti-dream.
Where creativity is really at a premium, you know, they want to hoard all of the dreams.
Right.
So they hire dreamers. And then they leave the rest of us in a semi-somnambulistic state, just existing dreamless.
Yeah, that's why we have so much insomnia lately. Have you heard about that? Like, so many people trying to sleep, but like to have like good sleep. And when you like, you have like a deep sleep, you dream. Yeah. So many problems with that. That's why like you have all these like pills now, like Advil, Tylenol, aspirin. Everybody with like. Some sort of component to make you sleep.
Something
relax.
To help you.
Yeah.
And also, actually, it occurs to me this insomnia may be related to caffeine, which is addictive. And so, you know, like I could see a restaurant giving caffeine to its, you know, to people that come by and say, you know, hey, this is my caffeine fix.
Most restaurants, which I find kind of funny. Most work establishments give their customers free coffee. And so I forget what part of Asia it was. I think it might have been like Thailand or Vietnam, maybe. I think it was Thailand. But for a while, like they give mess to their customers, which is pretty funny. It's all relevant. Coffee is really bad, but at the same time, coffee is okay in moderation. I don't really even like to drink that much coffee. I remember I used to drink a lot of coffee.
Well, I really like
it's kind of restrictive upon, I wouldn't even say it's restrictive upon my dream state. I just think it doesn't, I don't know. It's more like my body feels different. I think caffeine has no effect on the mind. It just makes the body feel tighter, which is good though sometimes too, because like when you stretch with it, it's good, or when you move with it.
Well, Robert, actually, people have, like, in my lab, we've done measurements on animals that have had caffeine and have had cocaine and that have just been, you know, having magnesium. And what we found is that in animals that have had caffeine, you know, so normally your EKG should be very regular and your EEG should be very irregular. But we found that in the patients that had taken a lot of caffeine, like by coffee, the EEG became very regular, and the EKG became very irregular.
I don't understand what that means.
Well, it means that they either we switched around the machines, or that the patients were really messed up, like really something was very, very strange in their body.
So that it produces something very strange, like drugs, like caffeine's a drug, like a powerful drug, like cocaine.
Well, caffeine is definitely a drug. I don't know if I would classify it as a super powerful hyper drug.
I think everything's super powerful. Everything's the same super powerful.
Well,
some stuff just thicker and like eats away at you quicker. Like I like coffee because it tastes really good, and it probably it's a psychological effect too. But I don't like cocaine. It's strange. I really dislike the feeling of that. I never liked it. I just found that it would make my like coffee makes my heart beat like a little faster. And, like just a little bit of cocaine would make my heart beat faster too. But like it's just like. It doesn't feel very good. It's strange. It's like the same feeling, except for like cocaine's like funny. I think they should like legalize all that stuff though. Like,
how do you feel when you eat celery?
Party. Huh?
How do you feel when you eat celery or parsley? Those are herbs also, and in some other cultures they used to smoke those as drugs.
Yeah, wow.
So how you feel when you eat those things?
I feel relaxed when I eat celery. And I don't really eat celery. I eat a lot of cucumbers. I smoke a lot of pot. They might put me on probation for stretching on the side of the road and having a bowl. That would be not so fun.
You had a bowl?
Yeah, like smoking the grass.
On the side of the road?
And oh.
I was going to grab some ice cream.
I didn't
want to be around my drums or my fridge full of beer. So I went and I was just like, oh, I don't really even need to eat ice cream now. I was like, I can stretch. It was weird. I painted on the ground too. And I was like, hey, I vandalized this. And the police were just like, oh, no. We don't want to pay attention to that. We just want to take your bowl and take you to the police station. And make you go to a psychiatric ward for 5 days because you sat in the courtroom meditating upon light.
And they confiscated your cereal bowl?
Yeah, man.
Well, that's really rough.
Yeah. Whatever, though. I don't know. I feel it is an interesting experience. I feel more attuned with the medical world at this point. I saw some of the people in the psychiatric ward, and I don't want to say that I thought it was humorous, because people would say that was sick. However, oh no, it's there for a reason. Everything is there for a reason. I can sit still with my blood pressure low, though. I don't think many people can say that. I can fall asleep at night. It's funny when everybody is looking.
Well, I believe that ward means protection, right? It's a very short word, but maybe a psychiatric ward, it's ultimately about protecting those in it.
Well, we have another caller. Unfortunately, we only have a few minutes, so let's we'll try to make it quick. Caller 2, you're on the air.
I wanted to my cerebral wheatgrass away from me and made me stand upside down in a bowl of oatmeal and they turn it around and flips me upside down. It's just too much.
What the heck was that guy talking about?
Well, I think I heard the click of death, but it's really beautiful, vivid imagery. I think that our caller may have attributed his experience to a lot of some sort of psychotropic drug, but what may have been more appropriately assigned to a high quantity of magnesium in his diet.
I think he was letting the American flow through him in a sarcastic manner.
Oh, you think he was insincere?
Well, nothing's really insincere or insincere. Like language and everything just is. Some people, like to raise their blood pressure. Like, a lot of comedians, I noticed, like...
A lot of Canadians?
Comedians, excuse me. Did I say Canadians?
I may have misheard.
I don't know. Well, a lot of comedians they get like worked up in their acts, like they like that stuff. Like, I don't really like. For a long time, I wanted to be what people like. I don't feel worked up. It's funny when I play drums really really fast, I don't feel worked up. It's strange. It's gotten a lot different. This practice, the jazz practice. I'd like to choose that.
So what do you think, doctor? Should we consume magnesium with like lime juice or cranberry juice or prune juice? Which way is better? Because it should be like very difficult to like just eat the powder, no? So.
Well,
too much juice, it has a lot of sugar.
No, there are many, many excellent sources of dietary magnesium, including fish, several types of grain, bran, barley, borol, pumpkin seeds, I think we mentioned, buckwheat, yogurt is good, garbanzo, lima beans, you know, very many nice sources of magnesium in the universe.
I like how we're taking a stand. We're taking a stand against all those who are keeping these keeping magnesium away from us. Thank you, doctor, for telling us what we can do.
Well, thank you all for joining me for some, you know, magnesium here today.
I appreciate it.
Well, thank you also, Robert, for calling in today.
I think it is every word.
Yeah.
Everything is everything.
So just a nice, like, you know, quinoa also has a lot of magnesium, cashews.
So
spinach. So there are many, many wonderful sources of magnesium, and like I said, 2 out of 3 Americans are not getting enough magnesium. So thank you, Robert, for calling.
All right, maybe I'll have something to say sometime. Probably not. Maybe I'll ask some questions. So keep up the talking about healthy living.
Well, keep living, Robert, and keep calling us. So so hopefully we'll hear from you next week.
Sure.
And we'd like to thank all of our listeners and especially the ones that called in today. And thank you to all of my co-hosts, to Lester and to Maria and to the General and to Poe.
Thank you, Doctor. And I would like also to thank you, all our listeners abroad. I received some emails from abroad.
Oh.
People are really like interested about like energies and good health and magnesium.
Well, that's wonderful. It's good to hear that the message is spreading. So, ma'a salama from a Dr. Jalas Sakran. Thank you for listening to Music for Human Beings, WMBR 88.1 FM in Cambridge. Stay tuned for Night Owl, I believe.
Points for safety. Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians and unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.